My sins are blotted out, I know. My sins are blotted out, I know. They are buried in the depths of the deepest sea. My sins are blotted out, I know. What a wondrous message in God's Word. My sins are blotted out, I know. If I trust in His redeeming blood, my sins are blotted out, I know. My sins are blotted out, I know, I know. My sins are blotted out, I know, I know. They are buried in the depths of the deepest sea. My sins are blotted out, I know. Once my heart was black, but now what joy. My sins are blotted out, I know. I have peace that nothing can destroy. My sins are blotted out, I know. My sins are blotted out, I know. My sins are blotted out, I know. Are buried in the depths of the deepest sea. My sins are blotted out, I know. I shall stand someday before my King. My sins are blotted out, I know. With the ransom host I then shall sing. My sins are blotted out, I know. My sins are blotted out, I know, I know. My sins are blotted out, I know. They are buried in the depths of the deepest sea. My sins are blotted out, I know.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Now, when preacher asked if I'd preach this morning, I said, as long as Brother Larry's going to be here, you know, I can preach this morning. But no, it really is a blessing to be here. I want to start off by saying thank you all, everybody, so much for praying for us. I know I hear a lot of people come up and encourage us all the time, saying you're praying for us as we're out. Now, we've had a very slow summer, as you can probably tell. We've been here a lot, but their meetings have been picking up. We have a pretty good fall schedule now, heading out west, going out to California, and so things should be picking up pretty well. We're at 17%, 17.27%, if you want to get technical. So God has been blessing. But I just want to say thank you very much for that, and also for praying for my hand and my arm to heal. Now, when that first happened, I didn't really want to let anybody know. I was so embarrassed, you know. I lit my arm on fire. How do you get around that? Is this on? Is it on? All right. Is that on? Do you know how to turn this on? All right. Is that on? Okay. All right. Now I completely lost track where I was, so I should start from the beginning. No. when I first, lit my arm on fire, I was so embarrassed to tell anybody. I didn't really want to. But then went to the hospital and I had, the big wrap on my arm. Like, yeah, not gonna get around this. So, really though, thank you very much. It's healed up very, very quickly. And thank you very much for the prayers. It really is an honor to be here this morning. I usually am not able to be in the main service here. I'm usually across the way teaching fifth and sixth grade boys Sunday school class. So this is a little bit different. I don't get to hand out candy or anything. And we have a lot of interesting questions in that class. It was Easter. I was, you know, telling the resurrection story, which I love telling the resurrection story. It's fantastic. And I had just taught through the whole thing and, you know, told everybody about how Jesus rose from the dead and, you know, very exciting story. And got down to the end and had a first-time visitor in the class. And he raises his hand at the end. And I'm expecting, you know, a good question or, you know, something that he learned something from what I had taught that morning. And he raised his hand, so, you know, I asked his question. And he says, yeah, when Jesus came back from the dead, was he like a mummy or a zombie? And, either I taught that really bad or he watched way too much TV. I don't know. But anyways. Now, I had prepared a bunch of mother-in-law jokes this morning, but I can't tell them. No. Just joking. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter number 4. I got to write a new message for this morning, so this is the first time I'm hearing it. But, you know, usually as I travel, I just get to re-preach what I hear Brother Angel preaching, so can't do that. No. Luke chapter number 4, please, and I'll go ahead and begin reading verse number 1. It says here, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you so much for the opportunity to preach this morning, Lord. I pray that you would please do. Be with me, Lord. Give me the words to say. I pray that it would be a help and a blessing to everyone this morning. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Morning's message is, what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? We see Jesus here has gone out into the wilderness for 40 days and for 40 nights. And the Bible says he ate nothing. He'd been out there for 40 days, 40 nights without eating a thing. He was hungry. I'm sure that Jesus was absolutely starving after this. Well, the Bible says that afterwards he hungered. He was hungry. He wanted some food. I mean, I'm sure he was just absolutely starving. I've done a couple of fasts before. I haven't gotten anywhere close to 40 days. I can't imagine what going 4 days would be like without food. He'd gone 40 days without eating anything. And he was hungry. He was real hungry afterwards. And I'm sure he was very weak. After going 40 days without eating, you're going to be pretty weak. You're going to be pretty tempted to eat some food. Now, I love a Big Mac. And it's like, it's, you know, a comfort food or whatever. When I just sometimes I get a hankering for a Big Mac, and I have to have a Big Mac. They're fantastic, you know. I'm sure there's MSG or whatever they put in that. I don't want to know. I love a Big Mac. And it was when I was in college. It had been, you know, just one of those long days. It had gone to a long week and a long month, and it was time for me to eat a Big Mac. I was just really wanting to eat this Big Mac. And my break was at 10 o'clock at night, so I was. You know, just looking forward to, you know, just counting down the hours until I can go get my lunch break, go to McDonald's, and get my Big Mac. You know, make all the world right again. So, counting down the hours. Finally, got time for 10 o'clock, and I went, drove out to the McDonald's. You know, the restaurant part's already closed, but the drive-thru is open. So I pull around to the drive-thru, and, you know, I didn't even look at the menu. I didn't care. I knew I was getting, you know, two Big Macs and a Coke. That's all I needed. I didn't even look at the menu, and I sat there, and I waited for the person, you know, to talk, and I waited and waited. You know, I start, you know, hello, I'm looking around, and then I look up at the menu, and it says, restaurant is closed due to construction or something, and I had to drive home without a Big Mac. Come back from my lunch break without a Big Mac. Man, I wanted a Big Mac after that. And actually, the story ended well because another coworker was just leaving work, and he actually ran out and got me a Big Mac. But Jesus here, he'd gone for 40 days. Now, I'd probably been about 4 hours without eating. Jesus had been 40 days without eating. He was hungry. And he, I'm sure he was just absolutely starving. He was absolutely weak. And the thing he wanted, I think the thing he wanted most in this world is food. He's starving. And that's when the devil came along. That's when the devil comes along. He knows when we're weak for something. He knows the perfect time to come along, and he knows exactly what to use to get us to trip up. And that's when Satan came along. He used exactly what Jesus was weak on. He said, you know what? Just turn this stone into bread. You know, it's something for Jesus, it's something so simple. He's got all the power. He could have turned that stone to a Big Mac if he wanted. But the devil said, just turn this stone into bread and have something to eat. And I'm sure Jesus wanted to do that. I'm sure that's something he really wanted to do. He wanted to have that stone, turn it into bread, and eat it up. He was hungry. He was starving. And he was so weak for that. But he said, he told the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Even more than he was hungry for that bread, he was hungry for the word of God. He was hungry for the Bible. He said, you know what? At that moment, that bread, that food, it seemed pretty important to him. It seemed like, you know, this is something I need to have, this food. I've got 40 days without food. This is something so important. But he looked beyond that and he said, you know what? I would love to eat this, but there's something so much more important here. And that's the word of God. That's him living a sinless life, a perfect life, so that he can pay for our sins. That's something, you know, he even though at that time it seemed pretty important, he looked beyond that. Then he saw his list of importance. The devil's going to put unimportant things in our path. And he's going to make it seem like, oh, this is what you need. This is exactly what you need right now. Just like Jesus, you need this bread. You need to eat something and put something there to trip him up. That's what the devil's going to do to us. And he's going to bring up something so trivial, but oh, it seems like something we need to do. Oh, you know, I know I should be going soul winning tonight, but there's something on TV. There's a show on TV I got to watch. It's the season finale. And something so trivial like that, the devil's going to bring up at the perfect time, right when you're weakest for it, he's going to bring it up and he's going to try to trip you up. And he's going to try to mess up whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing with something so unimportant, like watching a TV show. Or when, you know, you're supposed to be reading your Bible, it's your time for the Bible, you should be feeding your appetite for the Bible, and instead you're playing on your cell phone, you're doing something else. You know, the devil's going to use anything he can to trip you up. And he can take anything that is so unimportant and make it seem like this is what you need. That's what he did with Jesus here. Now, and Jesus did need the food. He did need to eat. It was pretty important. But so much more important than that is to live a perfect life. That's what Jesus had to do. But Satan didn't point out that part. He pointed out the part that he needed, the food. Satan's going to do that, and he's going to try to mess us up. He's going to try to trip us up with anything and try to do whatever he can to change the priority to take it off of the Bible. But Jesus was quick to say, no, you know, that bread may be important, eating may be important, but I'm not going to survive on that. I'm going to survive on the Word of God. We need to have a hunger. We need to prioritize very, very high the Bible. It's something so important to us. And anything else can come up that will seem like, oh, we need to take care of this, we need to do this, but no, it needs to come back to the Bible. We need to have a hunger for the Bible. We need to be hungry for the Bible. And let it eat you up. Jesus was able to quote immediately back to Satan something from the Bible. Said, it is written. And spoke it right back to him. That's what we need to be able to have. But we need to have a hunger for the Bible. So that when the devil's going to come and he's going to try to trip us up, and he's going to do whatever he can to make something else seem more important, to make something else seem like it's a big deal, we have to take care of it, and he's going to try to get us away from the Bible, get us away from the bigger picture, get us away from serving God, or maybe it's from a church service or soul winning or something like that. The devil's going to come along. He's going to try to trip you up. But you need to have a hunger. You need to be hungry for the Bible. What are you hungry for? You're hungry for something that it's so trivial. It's going to pass away. You're not going to have it for forever.
or do you have a hunger for the Bible? Do you have a hunger for the words that God wrote down for us? He put down everything that we need to have. He wrote down in the Bible and said, this is for you. This is what you can have. You can feed on this. You can get everything you need for your daily life out of the Bible. Have a hunger for the Bible. Don't let Satan get in the way and let him change up your priorities. Keep a priority on hunger for the Bible. But we're going to go another step beyond that. Turn with me to Job chapter number 23. Job chapter 23. Now, we know the story of Job. He's a good man. He's a very good man. He was a man that God bragged about. God told Satan, you know, if you consider my servant Job and how he loves God, he hates evil. He bragged about Job. We know Job is a good man. And it says in Job 23, verse number 12, it says, Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, Job is one of the first, maybe the first books of the Bible written. When Job was alive, it was before Moses and the Ten Commandments and the law. And so when he was alive, he didn't have a Bible to read. He didn't have the law he could read. He didn't have the Ten Commandments he could read. He didn't have any of that. But he said he esteemed the words of God more than his necessary food. He depended on God talking to him. He depended on a personal walk with God and a personal relationship with God. He put a high value on the words of God. He said he esteemed more than his necessary food, more than the food he needed to survive, his necessary, not just, you know, that extra piece of pie. He said, no, I need this more than any food in the world. I need to have a personal relationship with God. He found this very, very important. And you know what? We need to have a hunger for a personal relationship with God. Said, you know what? This is something, it's so much more important than anything in the world, than the very thing we need to survive, than food itself. That's a basic. Any culture anywhere in the world, you need food. That's a staple you have to have. But Job said, you know what? Even more than that, I need a personal relationship with God. I need to be able to walk with God. I need to be able to let God speak to me. That's so important in our life. You know, if we just have a hunger for the Bible, that's a good thing. And that will lead to a hunger for a personal walk with God. That's your devotions. That's the time when you set aside, you're going to read the Bible and you're going to talk with God. Not just you talking with Him in prayer, but you want Him to speak back to you. That's something so important. That's what Job said. You know what? I esteem this. I value this so high. More than the food I need to survive, I need God. We need a personal walk with God. It goes beyond just a hunger for the Bible. We have to have a hunger for a personal walk with God. Job here, he's depending on God speaking to him. And sometimes, you know, when we're in church all the time, you're reading your Bible all the time, you have your devotions, and really it becomes more of a ritual than anything. And you know, you have your Bible, you have your pew in church, you have the place that you're supposed to be, and that's where it dies. And you don't have God speaking to you. You don't have the words of God speaking to you in your everyday devotions. And you know, God may not speak to you every single day, but you need to value, put a high esteem on God speaking to you, on a personal walk with God. That's what we need to depend on. And it's not just the ritual of reading your Bible every morning or coming to church or doing your things at church, teaching your Sunday school class, whatever. It's not just a ritual. It goes so far beyond that. But we need to have a personal walk with God. Have a hunger for a walk with God. Have a hunger for God talking to you. When you come into church, don't just come into church to, you know, to be in your place and to fill your spot in the pew, you know, to even amen preacher when he's preaching. it needs to go beyond that. It needs to have, you need to have a hunger for God to talk to you. It becomes personal right here. Job made it very personal. He's saying, you know what, I'm going to read it again here. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He's hanging on the words of God. He said, you know what, I need God talking to me. And more than I need food itself, I need God. We need God today. And where we're, you know, in America, we really don't have to depend, you know, or beg for food, or it's, you know, you have McDonald's everywhere. You can go out and get food. You got Walmart that has everything in the world. We're not so dependent on food anymore. You know that, well, we are dependent on food. We all do need to eat, but it's not like it's such a major thing. You know, we have to get food to survive. Back then it was, and you know, you had to kill for your food or whatever, raise your own food. Job said, more than any of that, I need God. I need God talking to me. When you go to church, are you just going to church just to fill a spot, or are you going to church waiting for God to speak to you? When you read your Bible, are you just reading through your Bible, you know, check off another box, do what you do every morning? Are you waiting for God to speak? Are you waiting to God to speak with you? We need to have a personal walk with God. Then we'll go another step. Turn to Matthew chapter number 5. And these all do build on each other here. If you have a hunger for the Bible, you're going to develop a hunger for a walk with God. If you want to be reading the Bible and studying the Bible, you're gonna start hungering and wanting a walk for God. And then beyond that, Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 6, very, very well-known verse, says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Here we see again another hunger in the Bible. Now, this hunger, this is building on the last two. If you have no interest in the Bible, you're not going to have any interest in being righteous. And I looked up righteousness, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It is acting in accord with moral or divine law, free from guilt or sin. We need to have a hunger for righteousness. Have a hunger for doing right. It's just that simple. And you know what? If you don't have a hunger for the Bible, you're not going to have a hunger for a walk with God. If you don't have a hunger for a walk with God, you're not going to have a hunger for doing right. The Bible says, "Blessed are they which you hunger and thirst after righteousness." We need to have a hunger every single day of our life to do right. It's that simple. You know, you can't really break it down to much more than that. You need to have a hunger to do right, and it's every day. It's when you have a choice. We have options every day. We have choices every day, and you know, when you're at work and someone starts telling a joke you don't need to hear, are you going to stay there and listen to it, or are you going to choose to walk away? Are you going to take a stand? Are you going to do something like that, or are you just going to go with whatever happens? It's a choice. It's a hunger to do right. It's an action. The Bible says, "Blessed are they which you hunger and thirst after righteousness." Oh, we need to be hungry. We need to hunger after doing right. We need to hunger after righteousness, after doing the right things, after staying in the law and the will of God. We need to have a hunger for it. We need to hunger after righteousness. We'll start with the Bible. We'll build with a personal relationship. Then go beyond that. We need to just have a hunger to do right. Have a hunger for righteousness. It's such an important thing. And this makes me think of when we actually, you know, you probably can't tell from how I look this morning, but we actually trained for a 5K last year. And we'd run on a quarter-mile track, and there at the beginning point, there's a little place where you can set, you know, whatever you want. But that's where I'd always set my water bottle. And as I'd run around the track, and, you know, I'd be on the other side of the track, and I'd look back, and I'd see that water bottle. And, man, it made me so thirsty. And I wanted that so bad. And I'm out here running, you know, I think, oh, two more laps and I can get a sip of that water. Three more laps and I can get back there and drink some water. and so thirsty. And it builds up. That's how we need to be. Bible says, blessed are they. You know, it's not just, I'll go to church and, get a little bit of feeding. No, it's a hunger. You're saying, I want this so bad. I want to serve God. And you know what? The Bible says you will be filled. Bible says if this is a hunger, if this is something that you want so bad, you hunger, if you thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. Now, we know we're not going to live a perfect life until we get to heaven. But you know what? We can keep hungering after it. We can keep wanting it. We can have a hunger, have a taste in our mouth for righteousness. And it's something that we should strive for, we should work for all the time. Now, we're not going to be perfect. We never will be. But you know what? It should be a hunger. And we can start with a hunger for the Bible, filled with a hunger for a relationship with God, than just a hunger to do right. I'm going to finish very early this morning, so you're welcome. But Proverbs chapter number 27. Proverbs chapter number 27, verse number 7, it says, "A full soul loatheth." I love the book of Proverbs, but I can't stand reading it out loud because of all the sounds. "A full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." Now, when I read this, I think about Thanksgiving. And with Thanksgiving dinner, I am an American. I follow both traditions of number one, thanking God, and eating. I eat a lot for Thanksgiving. And this makes me think of after, you've eaten all that you can for Thanksgiving, and, you're just absolutely stuffed. And then they start bringing out all the desserts. And, they look fantastic and everything. It's packed with cholesterol and sugar and all those wonderful things. And, it looks so good. You're too full. You can't have any of it. You're not going to be able to eat any of it. That's what this reminds me of. You know what? If we live our Christian life and we're saying, I'm full. You know what? I'm not hungry for any more. God has already blessed me a lot. I'm in church. I'm saved. I'm doing right. And I'm full. I'm going to stop right here. No matter what God brings along, you don't want it. That can be us. That can be the average Christian. That, you know what, we're in church, and we get to hear a fantastic preacher like Brother Angel every Sunday, every Wednesday, and it gets to a point where we're full. We don't want it anymore. We don't want to be able to see God working in our life anymore, and we're full. It doesn't matter how appetizing. A dessert looks. It doesn't matter how good you know it's going to taste, you're full. You don't want it anymore. It's not the way to live a Christian life. You have to have a hunger. You have to stay hungry all the time. The second part of that verse, "But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet." You know what? If you stay hungry all the time for God to work, if you stay hungry all the time for God to keep speaking to you speaking to you in your devotions, speaking to you when you're at church, and helping you and being with you all the time, you know what? The Bible says here, every bitter thing is sweet. God's going to send along, and it doesn't matter. Maybe you're going to have one of those bitter times in your life. But if you have a hunger for it, if you're just starving for God, if you want God to work in your life, it's going to seem sweet. It's going to seem, even those bitter times that every Christian is going to go through, it's going to seem sweet. If you stay hungry for God, if you stay hungry for God to keep working in your life, stay hungry for the Bible, stay hungry for a personal walk with God, stay hungry for righteousness, for doing right, and just keep staying hungry. You can never be filled enough to where God can't give you some more. Stay hungry for God to keep working in your life. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the message, Lord. I pray that you would please do. Help it, use it, Lord. I pray that people will be able to remember it throughout the week, Lord, and just pray that you would help it to be a blessing and a challenge, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
As Val and I's closed maybe here this morning, and you don't know that you're 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven. You heard the message this morning about a hunger, and maybe you don't even have Christ in your life. And so at this time is our invitation, and maybe you'd like to slip your hand up and you raise your hand and you say, I don't know that I'm 100% sure. We have men that will deal with men and ladies that deal with ladies. So with an uplifted hand, you'd say, I don't know that I'm 100% sure that I'm saved, and I'd like to know. If that's you, will you raise your hand this morning? All right, maybe you're here this morning and you haven't been baptized. Maybe there hasn't been a time after salvation that you've followed the Lord in baptism. And you'd say, that's me this morning. I'd like to be baptized, or at least somebody to talk to me about that. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? All right, then church membership. Maybe you've talked to a preacher or one of the fellows on staff, and you'd like to join this morning, and you come during the invitation. Then others of us that heard the message this morning, great message about a hunger desire. I think you caught the passion, the burden this morning from Brother Jared. Maybe you haven't had a hunger for the Bible. Maybe you haven't had a good relationship with God. Well, I'm amazed at just the small things about a prayer time and a Bible time, how we overlook those. So this morning, maybe you'll come during invitation. And then maybe it's a hunger for righteousness. You just want to live a good, godly life. If there's something that spoke to your heart this morning, would you have an uplifted hand and this morning and the Lord spoke to your heart? All right, when the ladies come during invitation time, will you make your way up to this old-fashioned altar as the ladies play this morning?